Welcome back to Echo by Pam Munoz-Ryan. This is chapter 14. Here we go. No, 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 said Friedrich. Every evening for the past 2 weeks, he'd sat at one end of the kitchen table and sorted through stacks of music for a piece he might perform for his audition. Father usually did the same, but tonight he sat across from him, writing yet another letter to Elizabeth. Friedrich tapped the top of the stack. How about this one? Haydn, the concerto number 2. Father looked up, nodding.
It's complex enough. Put it with the others we're considering. And remember what I always tell you and all my students. Whichever music you choose, you must perform in such a way that the audience has no choice but to listen with its heart.
Friedrich set it on a short stack and pushed back from the table. He needed a break. He pulled the harmonica from his pocket and played Brahms's Lullaby. When he finished, Father gazed at him, shaking his head with admiration.
That is exactly what I mean, son. That was radiant. I felt it.
Father put a hand on his heart.
Here. And that harmonica. Such a remarkable tone. It's as if you are playing 3 instruments, not 1.
Friedrich puzzled. It's true. I hear it as well. Every song I play sounds as if it is in harmony with something inside of me.
Father nodded. Some instruments have a quality that cannot be explained. Maybe you found the Stradivarius of harmonicas.
Friedrich studied it. If only it was as revered as the Stradivarius violins. Too bad I can't audition with it. Father chuckled.
With the current sentiment about the harmonica, I can only imagine the upheaval that would cause at the conservatory.
Father folded the letter, put it in an envelope, and addressed it. He held it out to Friedrich.
Would you drop this at the post office for me, on your way to work tomorrow?
Friedrich took the envelope and set it aside. She's been gone for a month now. Why do you continue to write to her every week when you've heard nothing in return? Isn't it clear she has made her choice?
Father put down his pen. I know you're angry with her, but I'm her father. I continue because I love her, and I want her to remember the sound of my voice.
Friedrich nodded toward the envelope. Did you tell her that our own dentist has closed his doors because of another law prohibiting Jews to practice medicine? Did you ask her if she attends the bonfires in Berlin where they burn books that don't glorify Hitler's ideals? Or about all the Germans who are fleeing the country because they are opponents of Hitler?
Father looked at him soberly. Be careful, Friedrich. Your voice has an edge to it. I fear you are beginning to sound far too much like me. And no, as a matter of course, I never mention politics to Elizabeth. I write to her about the two of you and some of my fondest memories of your childhoods. I tell her how proud I am of her nursing accomplishments. I tell her what we had for dinner. Don't you see? I am not giving up the hope that she might someday be my daughter and your sister again. Just as I would never, ever give up on you. There's so little I can do for her now, except to let her know I am here, and to let her be. You might consider doing the same.
Friedrich frowned and crossed his arms on his chest.
I know it is hard for you to understand right now, said Father, but someday, if I am not around, or your Uncle Gunther isn't around, you might need her. You might need each other.
What was Father talking about? I won't need her, Father, unless her feelings have changed.
Son, there might come a time.
Father, stop!
He swept the letter from the table and it flew to the floor.
Friedrich stood and stormed from the room, calling over his shoulder. You and Uncle Gunther aren't going anywhere. Chapter 15. When Friedrich came home from work the following Thursday evening, the furniture in the parlor had been moved toward the walls, and 4 kitchen chairs and music stands were positioned in a half circle in the center of the room. A small table was set with tea, shortbread, and a bowl of anise lozenges.
Father, what's all this?
Father clapped his hands together.
Something fortuitous has happened, Friedrich. I called a few friends to see if they'd join me to play some impromptu chamber music tonight, and they've agreed.
He nodded to the table.
I bought a few things to make everything nice. I have a violinist and a violist coming. I can be the other violinist, unpracticed as I am. Would you indulge me and play cello, if only for tonight? Friedrich took off his knit cap, wool scarf, and coat.
I don't know, Father, he hesitated.
It's Rudolf and Joseph. You've met them both, so you need not feel uncomfortable.
Rudolf's daughter had taken cello lessons from Father, so he'd been to the house many times. And Joseph was one of Father's oldest friends. They'd played in the Berlin Philharmonic together. Now he was a music professor at the university in Stuttgart. Whenever he visited, Joseph always took a special interest in Friedrich, listening to him perform and giving him advice on how to improve.
There are good reasons for you to play with us, not the least of which is to make a favorable impression.
A favorable impression?
Father was beaming. I've discovered that Rudolf sits on the director's board at the conservatory. So you see, it's advantageous that you two become better acquainted. And Joseph attended the conservatory, so he's quite familiar with the auditions. I've asked him to look through our music selections and make a recommendation about what you might play for the jury.
Friedrich put his hands on his hips and raised his eyebrows. Please tell me that you are not trying to manipulate.
Father raised his hands to stop him. I assure you, Friedrich, it was all a lucky coincidence. I didn't find out until after I asked Rudolf to come that he was affiliated with the conservatory. And the only reason I called Joseph in the first place was because I know he needs this. He lost his job.
Father muttered,
Hitler's new law for the restoration of the professional civil service.
The what? Asked Friedrich.
It forbids Jews from working as teachers or professors. He's Jewish and a professor. And brilliant. The best viola player I've ever known. When I called him, he told me that a few weeks ago, in the middle of the night, he packed up his wife and children and sent them away to relatives because he could no longer pay his rent. He has stayed behind to care for his father, who is not well enough to travel. I encouraged him to come and play tonight because music is the best medicine for the soul.
Father, that was kind of you.
I'd love for you to start the evening by playing that harmonica, the same piece you played for me last week, the Brahms. I think our guests will be delighted by your prowess and its unusual sound.
Father's eyes twinkled. Friedrich hadn't seen him so animated since the day before Elizabeth came home. How could he refuse him?
Friedrich nodded. Now, quickly, into the kitchen with you, and eat your dinner and then upstairs to change. They'll be here soon. And don't forget the harmonica.
Friedrich patted his chest pocket. He wouldn't forget it. Maybe Father was right. Tonight would bring good luck. Chapter 16. Friedrich had just come downstairs when there was a knock on the door. Rudolf, tall and lumbering, entered, toting his violin. A few moments later, Joseph arrived, carrying the viola. He pulled black-framed eyeglasses from his pocket and put them on. After the brief introductions, the two men were soon unpacking their instruments and rosining their bows.
Before we talk about our repertoire, said Father, Friedrich has agreed to play something for you at my bidding.
Friedrich smiled self-consciously. He turned his birthmark away from the men and pulled the harmonica from his pocket. He blew a few chords. His pulse raced. How could he feel so nervous in his own parlor? He closed his eyes and began the Brahms. Swept away and soothed by the familiar voice of the harmonica, he repeated the refrain. When he finished, he turned to face the men. If he impressed anyone, he hoped it would be Rudolf, since he'd be judging him soon. But it was Joseph who said,
That was lovely. It did not sound so much like a harmonica as it did a clarinet, and at times a piccolo.
It has a unique sound, said Father, looking at Rudolf, who pursed his lips. Did you not like the piece?
Martin, it's a toy, not an instrument, said Rudolf, and it's not authorized by the government. It's considered vulgar.
Friedrich saw Father bristle.
Yes, well, Father frowned.
Friedrich cleared his throat and quickly said, We should talk about the repertoire.
Rudolf spoke up.
I suggest Beethoven or Bruckner, possibly Bach. They are sanctioned by the Nazi party.
Friedrich caught Father's startled look. Rudolf was a Hitlerite, and Father hadn't known.
Did Rudolph know that Joseph was Jewish? Joseph shifted in his chair, looking uncomfortable. I have no problem playing any of those composers.
It's settled then, said Rudolph. He nodded to Joseph, his eyes searching his face.
We've met before, haven't we? You used to play in the orchestra with Martin. Or am I mistaken?
Joseph laid his viola in his lap.
You are correct.
Are you still with the Berlin Philharmonic?
No, I've been for some years teaching music at the university in Stuttgart, said Joseph. Until recently.
A sliver of recognition crossed Rudolph's face.
Your family is from Trossingen, then? Your father and uncle have a tailor shop. Cohen Brothers. Isn't that right? But it was closed due to current tensions and sentiment.
That's right, said Joseph.
Rudolph turned to Father. I cannot play with a Jew.
Father stood and held out his hands, pleading.
Rudolph, can't we put such feelings aside for the sake of our art, since we are performing for ourselves in my parlor? Joseph is a musician, the best viola player I know. You are a musician. We all have that in common, that love.
Rudolph stood and pointed his bow at Father, his voice sharp.
For heaven's sake, Martin, my brother is the new regional commandant for the Nazi police. Don't you understand? I cannot risk being thought a sympathizer. I cannot even be in the same house with a Jew. If anyone thought I was colluding,
his eyes darted toward the windows.
My brother's son, my own nephew, Anselm, works at the factory with Friedrich. If Friedrich were to mention to him that I was here,
Friedrich winced. Anselm was the son of the commandant for the Nazi police? No wonder he acted as he did.
Sir, I will never mention it.
Rudolph put his violin and bow back in the case.
Jewish sympathizers are not taken lightly by the Nazis.
Father blurted. You and I have discussed politics many times. You've never been a supporter of the new regime. Surely, you do not endorse the outrageous laws. We must play the music Hitler wishes. We must read only what Hitler approves. We must look as Hitler wants us to look.
Friedrich wanted to scream at Father. Had he forgotten he was no longer allowed to be a free thinker? Had he forgotten his promise to keep his opinions to himself? Had he forgotten that Friedrich should make a favorable impression?
Things have changed, said Rudolph, snapping his case shut. I abide by the new laws, for Germany's sake and the future of my family.
He waved his hand toward Friedrich.
Have you looked at your son, Martin? Maybe the new laws are for good reason.
Friedrich's face stung, as if he'd been smacked. Was this what people now thought when they saw his birthmark? Thank goodness for the new laws?
I should leave, said Joseph, standing.
No, said Father, and then more softly, you are my guest.
Rudolph gathered his coat.
You've chosen sides, Martin. I hope you understand that I am obligated to discuss this with my brother.
He shook his head.
I'm disappointed in you, as will my brother be. What were you thinking?
He left, slamming the front door behind him. Father slumped in his chair, muttering,
I was thinking we would make music.
He looked from Joseph to Friedrich.
I had no idea things would deteriorate so. I supposed that everyone would get along. We're all musicians.
Joseph put a hand on Father's shoulder.
You are naive, my friend, to speak on my behalf. It won't be looked upon favorably, and there's nothing I can do to help.
It is I who should be helping you, said Father.
Joseph began packing up his viola. I need to leave too. You know how people talk. One piece of advice to you, Friedrich. When you audition for the conservatory, avoid the Jewish composers. Play Wagner. Hitler loves Wagner, and so his followers must love Wagner too. And no matter the politics, Wagner is a worthy composer. Goodbye, my friends. He grabbed his coat and hurried out. Friedrich turned to Father.
What will happen now?
Father took a deep breath. I'll be questioned, to be sure,
After that, I don't know. I should have kept quiet.
His body caved inward, and he looked very small.
Rudolf and I have been friends for over 20 years. I taught his daughter the cello. We've gone to concerts together. Friedrich, nothing makes sense anymore. Neighbors reporting neighbors. Friends reporting friends. Everyone afraid. What horror is next?
Friedrich helped Father to the sofa. He walked to the table, poured a cup of tea, and carried it to him.
Stay right here, Father. I'm going for Uncle Gunther.
Chapter 17. Uncle Gunther paced the room as Friedrich and Father recounted all that had happened earlier that evening. Afterward, he pulled one of the kitchen chairs directly in front of the sofa where Father and Friedrich sat. He looked from one to the other.
Do you understand what must be done?
Father nodded.
We must leave.
Leave Trosnan? Asked Friedrich. But we'll be back as soon as all this is sorted out, right? In time for my audition in January?
Father's face crumbled.
I am so sorry.
Uncle Gunther shook his head, his eyes solemn.
I don't think you understand, Friedrich. We must not only leave Trosnan, we must leave Germany.
Son, if there was any other way to guarantee our safety.
They will be watching all of us now, said Uncle Gunther.
Friedrich slumped back against the sofa.
Leave Germany? Leave the only home he'd ever known?
Father's and his uncle's voices spun around him.
Must be soon. Tomorrow. Friedrich and I will go to work as usual, go to the bank and take out money, but not enough to arouse suspicion. Luggage packed and ready.
Must have a pretense.
To see Elizabeth in Berlin. Meet at Gunther's. Walk by night and sleep in fields by day. South. Bern, Switzerland.
Friedrich shifted his eyes from Father to Uncle Gunther. Was this real? Was this happening? He left them in the parlor and slowly walked upstairs to his room, their quiet murmurings a constant hum as they continued to make plans. Friedrich sat on the edge of his bed, despondent. All his hopes and dreams and the world he knew were gone. How could his life have changed so quickly? He reached out and touched the cello that sat propped next to the bed. They would take the instruments to Uncle Gunther's apartment tomorrow night. He had a storage room that could be locked for safekeeping. But how long would they languish there? Months? Years? Forever? He reached in his pocket for the harmonica. He began to play the familiar Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, the final chorale in Bach's Cantata No. 147, and was immediately transported to when he heard it first. He was a kindergartner, walking with Father into the music store to buy Bo Rosen. A gramophone sat in the center of the store in a carved wooden case as high as a podium. A recording of the chorale movement was playing. Friedrich was mesmerized. When it finished, he begged the store owner to begin it again, and he obliged. That night, Friedrich had stood in front of Father with a hair comb as a baton and hummed the music, as if reciting a story, note by note. It was his first memory of conducting, and he could still see the surprise and delight in Father's and Elizabeth's faces as they clapped for him. He lay down on his pillow and stared into the darkness. Was there a conservatory in Bern, or anything as wonderful as his life in Trosnan with Father and Uncle Gunther and his factory family? From the hall below, he heard the tiny door click open on the clock, the steadfast bird sliding forward and cuckooing the hour. But instead of its usual cheerful twitter, it sounded like a warning.